Hi, folks. My name is Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm a board-certified urologist with expertise in sexual health, hormonal health, and genitourinary health. And I have Dr. Marty Catherins here with me today. Dr. Catherins, can you please introduce yourself?
So I'm Marty Catherins. We've known each other for a long time from our residency days. I'm currently at Mass General Brigham in Boston. I'm a men's health urologist, sexual dysfunction, infertility, and some voiding dysfunction as well. That's me.
Awesome. It's so good to see you. We ran into each other earlier today at the AUA meeting in Las Vegas, and you were presenting some research. You had a poster presentation on a new therapy that is now over-the-counter available to men for erectile dysfunction. So can you talk about the findings of your abstract? And actually, well, no. Before you do that, talk about, this was your first clinical trial.
It was.
Talk about the infrastructure of doing a clinical trial.
Yeah. So I think to start by giving props to the company that produces this, who, you know, wasn't money that changed hands with this study, but they supported the study. They did provide the actual product. This is called Futura Medical Devices. This was a bit of a long shot trial to start. And so I think it reflects some of the bravery on their part. But this was very much a learning process for me, working with clinical research coordinators in our department, working with my partners to recruit men on the cancer side, on the survivorship side. And ultimately, we got it done. It was a lot of work. We all talk about the need for prospective trials. So wanted to try to put our money where our mouth was. And boy, it's a challenge. You benefit from the resources that are already there. And the CRCs, the clinical research coordinators, were on the phone with these patients so often, and it just wouldn't have happened without them.
Yeah. So what are some of those challenges?
Recruitment, I think, was the big one. I imagine men falling out of the rafters to, you know, want to try literally any product. This was an interesting trial. It's a topical therapy, and we actually were consenting both parties, both the male and female subjects.
The partners of
yes,
the subjects.
Excuse me. Yep. And so just getting everybody in the door to do the consents, working around their schedule, making sure we're on the phone with them for their 1 month questionnaire check-ins. It's a lot of phone calls. And
they don't always pick up the phone when you
they
call.
Do not. They do not. We, you know, so it, anyway, just getting patients to agree to do this.
Yeah.
Not coercing them, but also presenting, you know, the potential benefits of it was a learning process for me, trial by fire, I would say.
So maybe start by talking about, what is this therapy, Med 3000?
So Med 3000, which now goes by a brand name called Eroxon, is a topical therapy. It does not have a biologically active drug agent in it. Essentially works by evaporating on the glands of the penis. It's thought to work by neural stimulation locally and has been shown in patient populations other than the one I studied to be helpful to as an on-demand therapy for erections.
Yeah. And you mentioned that they came up with this medication. It was used as a placebo?
Yeah, it was interesting. They were studying this product as a head-to-head with another a drug-active product on the penis, and they saw efficacy on...
So this
on,
is a placebo.
Yeah, I guess you would say that. And the company has gone a long way in generating their own data, some of which has been published out. I believe there was an abstract in the SMSNA on, non-prostate cancer survivors and showing efficacy. And the really exciting thing about this product is that, you know, you don't have to meet with a physician to get it. You should be able to get it over the counter. And so I think it sort of democratizes a little bit about how men can access on-demand therapies. And it's a seems to be a very low-risk product from what we can see, from what I can see, what I saw.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's really an attractive new sort of tool in the toolbox for men to use.
Yeah. And so for the urologists watching, we need to know about this product because it's OTC and our patients are going to be asking about it.
Yeah. So that's actually how I learned about this product. My patients were going on the internet, were reading about this. Specifically prostate cancer survivors were asking if, you know, this was the cure, this was the magic treatment, and got me thinking and approached the company and started to do what was ultimately a very small clinical pilot trial on men that have gone through a radical prostatectomy.
Okay, so your patient population, men who had radical prostatectomy, afterwards had erectile dysfunction, and so you were then giving them the Eroxon to use.
Yep, exactly.
So what did you find in your trial?
So we tried to be pretty selective. We wanted to give them, they were about 2 years out from surgery. They had nerve sparing on both sides. They had normal function before their prostate was removed. They had normal testosterone, no radiation. So we tried to sort of cherry pick the population. We found that the men did fine from a side effect perspective. They didn't have any complaints.
So it's safe. That's okay to know. It's safe.
My lived experience with my patients, it was very well tolerated. We unfortunately did not see improvement in a bunch of the different standardized questionnaires that we gave the men. So we did not find that it was efficacious. Our immediate question was, you know, we only gave the men this product. So we had them wash out from the oral medications, and whether maybe we've seen a different result if men were maybe not doing great with a drug like tadalafil and we added this. We also didn't study this early on after their prostate cancer therapy. So whether this therapy would have a role for rehabilitation. I mean, there are still other questions that could be asked, but for this particular population, small group of men, we didn't see an improvement.
And what degree of erectile dysfunction did these men have? And when you give them the questionnaires to see if they're a candidate, probably a lot of them are already on some ED therapies.
Yeah. To your point, I mean, these were men that had predominantly severe erectile dysfunction based on these standardized questionnaires. The vast majority, almost all of them were on oral medications. About 50% of them were on injection therapy, which I think speaks to the severity of the erectile dysfunction in this population. So like I said, this was a long shot, I think, for this patient population. And, you know, the fact that it didn't work is sobering, but I still think worth the opportunity to try, because really these men are, it's a vulnerable population. They don't have a lot of options otherwise. And we can, to a certain extent, check something off their list.
But I think it's so important to talk about negative study results and not negative, but like where there is no difference, right? Because those are the studies that oftentimes change clinical practice and help us educate people on who, that's how we know who is not maybe a good candidate for something.
No, I appreciate you saying that. And it's tough when it's your study that's the negative study, but it was discouraging.
It was accepted. So it's amazing that it was accepted.
Thanks to the AUA to let me come and present this work. And I totally agree. I think that the next guy that comes and asks about this, we can give him some information about, hey, this was a small study. The signal didn't show much of an improvement. It's not written in stone, but to your point, we can advise our patients on the basis of this study.
Yeah, amazing. And then just very briefly here, how does one use the medication? Is it daily, as needed?
It's an on-demand drug. It's applied to the head of the penis, to the glands of the penis. It's essentially sort of massaged into the glands of the penis for about 30 seconds. It's been in other studies has shown efficacy within 10 minutes or so. So that's how it's used. I do think that if I could have done this study again, I would have had some questionnaires for the female partner to find out how she experienced it. I think that would have been really interesting. And, you know, if I could have a do-over, I think I would have done that.
Yeah. So how come you had to consent the partner?
So interestingly, this product, which enjoys FDA approval, in the initial studies to approve this product, they excluded men who'd had a radical prostatectomy. So it was a fair amount of paperwork and a lot of red tape to get an exemption to do this study. And so because it was an exemption, the female subjects had to sign a consent form. Again, a lot of learning on the job for me at running a clinical trial like this.
Yeah. Well, amazing. So what's your message for our urology colleagues listening when their next patient says, hey, I saw Eroxon at CVS. What do you think?
I think I would tell him pretty simply that if this was the only thing you're using, you had both of your nerves spared and you're a couple years out from surgery, it's unlikely to be effective for you. And I would really restrict it to that sort of patient population, because I wouldn't want to conflate our patient population with that of a man that's initially after surgery wants to use it as rehabilitation. And that's a black box. We just don't know how well it's
more. It's different from a 35-year-old guy, like pretty much has good erections, but not always.
Who
wants to try something fake.
I would never want to, this negative study should not sort of be viewed as a man that has not been through a radical prostatectomy. as the efficacy of this product.
Awesome. Well, Marty, it was so good to see you today. Always good to catch up. Yeah. And thank you all so much for joining us today on this episode.